B-Pod Studios.
This is Felger.
Felgstradamus.
And Mash.
You're not going to get anybody half decent for free.
Presented by DraftKings on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, hi, everybody. Welcome to the program. Felger and Maserati coming to you on Thursday, September 15th. Felger and Maz and Murray, all of us from our Town Fair Tire Studios in Dorchester. We're brought to you by DraftKings, both on the radio side, 98.5 The Sports Hub, and simulcast across New England and the country on NBC Sports Boston. Also, catch us on all the apps and all the websites, 98.5thesportshub.com, and the app and your smartphone and your smart speaker and all of that. You can always catch us there. Thought we'd start off with some football. Maz, how do you feel about that?
Absolutely.
I think this is an interesting little spot. Some stakes here. I'm not sure they have much to lose. And when I say they, I'm going to frame it like this. Cam Newton and the New England Patriots. And I'll put them both like on equal footing. I don't think they have much to lose. I don't think they're expected to go out there and win. What are they, 6.5-point underdogs, something like that? What was it the other day?
Yeah, I think that's
four
right.
And a half.
Oh, 4.5, right, that's right.
So it was four and a half. Okay. You know, if they lose, they lose. And I don't think anyone's really, I don't think there's great expectations there. If they win, I think all of a sudden everyone wakes up and goes, oh, what's going on here?
I agree.
You know what I mean? Like, I think it's really a chance to...
The narrative will then be they need to trade for a wide receiver because they're a wide receiver away from competing with Kansas City and Baltimore.
It changes.
Oh, yeah.
I think the whole outlook on the team changes, right? If they get off to the start that a lot of people think, which is, you know, win Miami home, lose Seattle road, come home, beat the Raiders at home, go out to Kansas City and lose, and then that fifth game is home Denver, I think, before the bye. You know, take care of that, yeah. 3-2 at the bye. I think that's what everyone is sort of mapped out. Like, that's what we think is happening here, and that'd be a nice start for them, I think. You know, just taking, you know, beating the teams you should beat. You know, start there. But if they can pull off one of these, and it starts here, don't you think that changes the whole narrative?
No question it does. I mean, it does. It opens up everyone's eyes, as you just said, and the narrative around the country is going to be, here come the Patriots again. Here they come. Belichick lost Brady. He added Newton. They're 2-0. They just won at Seattle
on Sunday night in front of Michaels and Collinsworth and the whole country. Like, don't forget the spot there. I mean, that's going to – you'll be the story of the league.
Yeah, and in fact, I'd be willing to bet that you know, Michaels and Collinsworth will even mention some of that going in. Like, here you go. Don't count out the Patriots yet. They got Cam Newton. They looked pretty good last week. Now they come to Seattle, which is a real test. I think that is – there's a lot at stake for the Patriots to gain. It's a fair point that they're probably not going to lose much because I think most people expect them to go in and lose this game. But, boy, they could really put the league on notice with an impressive performance, couldn't they?
Especially Newton. Talk about a spot for him. He looked good last week and all of that, but he only threw it 15 times, and it was a Sunday 1 o'clock game that I don't know how much of the country got it and how much people really saw of it. Sunday night, everyone's watching. And I'll add one more thing. Pete Carroll's not going to let him run around, is he? Pete Carroll's not going to let him do the read option and run around end and not be touched going around the edge. Pete Carroll's not going to let him do that, right? He's going to have to throw. What if Cam Newton goes into Seattle and throws? What if Cam Newton goes into Seattle and has a good passing day?
Well, especially with what he'd be passing to. I mean, Edelman, we can trust. The rest of that group, I don't know. So if he's able to pull that off with that group, well, then... I mean, then Cam Newton, it's 2 weeks in and people are going to be talking about Cam Newton's back. He's going to be an MVP candidate this year and the sky's the limit for this team. I don't expect that to happen, especially considering who he'd be throwing to. That includes the tight ends. But if he somehow pulls that off, well then, and maybe this team can go deep in the playoffs and maybe go to the Super Bowl.
Watch out. If they win, hype train gets going.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my gosh, will it ever? Yeah, will it ever? And look, as we sit here and discuss it now, like, I don't know. If I'm Belichick, I try to throw to the backs and tight ends. Put those Seattle linebackers in coverage. Put the safety in coverage. Don't let them just run around and tackle people and make hits. And, you know, and again, those can be high percentage throws for Newton if you call it right and you scheme it right. So, you know, I'm eager to see this because last week was, particularly on the defensive side, was better than I thought it would be. So if they can hang in the game and win it, there's a lot to gain there. They're a little farther along than I thought they were.
Okay, we're going to start with some football stuff. So you want to weigh in on that? You can. Jimmy Feud, release the hounds if you've wiped them down properly at 617-779-0985.
Should make the callers wear masks.
The stakes, just keep your distance. The stakes here this week for the Patriots, I think they could, you know, if last week opened some eyes, this one, this week, I think blows them wide open. Quality opponent, Sunday night football, and, ooh, they would be off and running. Is Pete going to let, and that thing about Cam Newton, too, to me is, up until this morning when I started to look at it, I thought Pete just might be stupid enough to let Cam Newton run, because I view Pete as that kind of coach. I view Pete as not a game plan coach. He's not game plan specific. His defense is his defense. He runs it every week, no matter what the opponent is, and it's consistent and it's good, but it's not like, you know, you do this, so we're going to do that. He's not that kind of coach like Bill is. So in my mind's eye, off the top of my head, I would say, well, it's just like him to face Cam Newton and know Cam Newton's going to run around and just let him run around because he doesn't do anything specific. And then I went back and looked at Cam Newton's track record against Pete Carroll. And now I've flipped. Pete's not going to let him run around. If the history is to be a guide, Pete's not going to let him run around because he never has. And I went back and looked at it because Seattle and Carolina played each other a lot. They played each other a lot. Cam Newton's 2-6 versus Pete Carroll. 2-6. And when you go back and look at some of the rushing numbers and the offensive output, he's done nothing. Now, some of this goes back to like the 2012s. It goes back quite a ways. But, you know, I'll just give you the quick track record. Newton versus Seattle and Pete Carroll, 2012, at home, lost 16-12. Next game in 2013, at home, lost 12-7. In those two ball games, he rushed 7 times for 42 yards the first time, 5 rushes for 38 yards the second time. Third game, at home, 2014, lost 13-9, 12 rushes, 24 yards. Pete didn't let him run. And he had the attempts, 7 attempts, 5 attempts, 12 attempts. He didn't get anything on the ground. The third time he played Seattle, he finally won at Seattle. This is Cam Newton at Seattle in 2015. He won 27-23. There he did have 7 carries, 30 yards, 1 touchdown. That was his only rushing touchdown against Pete Carroll. But next season, at Seattle, lost 40-7, 3 rushes, 12 yards. 2018 at home, again in Carolina, lost 30-27, 6 rushes, 63 yards. He has 2 playoff games against Pete Carroll, split them. He split them, lost at Seattle in 2014, 31-17. That ball game, he rushed 11 times for 37 yards. And then they beat Seattle in 2015 at home, 31-24. He had 11 carries for 3 yards. So I don't remember that. I don't know how that computed. You know, did he lose a bunch of bulk yardage on one play? I mean, I go back and look at that, but he had 11 carries for 3 yards. So you add it all up, and he averages just over 4 yards a carry. He has only 1 touchdown running against Pete Carroll defenses. He has the attempts. He's rushing the normal amount of attempts, 8-9 attempts a game. He's just not getting the yard. Pete doesn't let him run. So Pete is actually smart against Cam Newton. Who would have thought that?
Well, and look, if I had to guess, because I don't think they're changing scheme a lot, but maybe sometimes they just spy him a little. And they have a safety now that can do that.
So certainly Jamal Adams should be a big matchup for Cam Newton. Should be a big. That spans over 6 seasons from 2012 through 2018. And not that the Seattle defense changed a ton, but it must have changed some.
Oh, it definitely did. Totally, yeah, the Legion of Boom started to phase out in 2015.
So look, I'm going to give the coach credit there. Pete Carroll didn't let Cam Newton run on him. So Pete's not going to let him run on him this week. I'd be stunned. So, I mean, again, I went into the week like, I don't know, because I don't really trust Pete as a coach. But based on this, the amount of times he's seen him, Pete Carroll's seen him a crap ton and has beaten him most every time. He's 6-2 against him. So Pete Carroll knows how to play Cam Newton or knows, you know, not to let him run around. And so Cam Newton's not going to be running around this week. Cam Newton's going to go out there throwing. So I just wrap, so go back to the beginning. What if the Patriots go into Seattle this week, Cam Newton is forced to throw, he throws, and they pull out the ball game? What then?
Oh, my gosh. Look, again, the whole league will go, uh-oh, what do we have here? We got to take New England seriously again. So I just think part of me hopes that Seattle does take away the run. I want to see the Patriots forced to do something that's a little uncomfortable for them.
Me too.
Yeah, like I want to see that, especially with their... The real question to me isn't... I mean, Newton's part of it, but it's got more to do with the receivers. Like, are they going to be able to figure that out? Which, again, which is why I go back to the running backs and the tight end. Throw on them that way. See if that works. I'll take my chances on that.
I wouldn't be surprised one bit if he's shotgun four wide and they start out playing like that. After running the high school offense and the, you know, quarterback keepers and all of that, as rudimentary as, I would not be surprised one bit if he comes out and starts throwing and is throwing from the jump in that game on Sunday night.
I mean, it is a great test. It's a great test here early on. And on both sides, by the way, as much as we're focusing on Newton, and I know that's the bigger one, you're now going against a guy who might be the best quarterback in the league or second best. Okay, well, we'd all take Mahomes first when you factor in an age and everything else. But in terms of playing at a high level, who's played at a higher level than that guy over the last 2 years? Russell Wilson.
Well, just even based on week one so far. I mean, he went absolutely off in Atlanta last week.
31 of 35. Cam Newton had almost as many batted passes as Russell Wilson had incompletions, for crying out loud. So, but look, the real thing is Newton, because we all know that the whole idea of what they could be is predicated on what is Newton. So what is that going to look like? If Newton has to throw, can he throw? Is he still the athletic guy who can run and create plays and extend plays when the structure breaks down? All of that. And I think Seattle's a great test for that.
Okay. Fun game. Fun matchup. Not much to lose. I don't think a lot is expected of you. But if you win, ooh, watch out. I think you become the hottest story in the league. And Cam Newton becomes the hottest story in the league. Especially because I don't think he's going to be running for it. You know, watch. He'll run for 100 yards now that I say that. But just looking at the history, Pete has never let Cam go off running the football. Never. Not in all the times he's played him. He's never let Cam Newton go off running on him. So is that going to start now, especially when the thought is that's the only way the Patriots can beat you? So Cam Newton ain't running this week. Maybe second half you get a lead and now you've got to switch it up from the first half. But first half, I'd be stunned. I'd be stunned if he's running the ball. I think they're going to come out throwing. And I think they have a shot. And if they do, again, look out. Stakes. Your thoughts on that? Stakes for Cam Newton in terms of developing receivers. This is another thing I want to talk about. Because you heard what he did yesterday with N'Keal Harry, right?
Yep.
You saw all that support he threw N'Keal Harry?
Yep.
And he talked to him and went to bat for him and supports him. And I think the knee-jerk natural reaction for a lot of us is what, Maz?
Oh, it's obvious. Wow, a veteran quarterback who actually supports young players. How about that? What a novel concept. A veteran guy who comes out and does the right thing and says, hey, don't focus on the negatives with this guy. Focus on the positives. He did some good things out there, too. N'Keal's going to be fine. We're going to bring him along. He's a young player. You know, growth's not linear, and I'm giving you paraphrase here. But what a novel concept. A veteran quarterback who recognizes that being a rookie is hard. Ha! Jeez! Who could have imagined that, Murray?
I mean, your response to this in the email chain made me want to throw my phone.
Okay.
It was as predictable as I knew it would be.
Well, let's gather your phone from the corner of the room and talk about that and pick that up as well. What if N'Keal Harry bounces back with a big week?
Yeah, good luck.
And we can credit Cam Newton for, instead of throwing him under the bus like someone not to be named.
Tampa Bay.
Instead of throwing him under the bus, he picks him up. And it helps develop him and helps him get better after a bad week. Wouldn't that be something to talk about? Let's pick that up on the other side with your calls. Again, at 617-779-0985.
Austin's home for sports. 98.5. The Sports Hub. BackstageCountry.com. Your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com. You can listen to Felger and Maz on your phone with the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
Frankly, it's what we deserve. We're a nation of idiots.
Felger and Maz, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
You know, I spoke with N'Keal, and let's just put a lot of things into perspective here. All right, did he have a good game? Yes, he did. I think that one play overshadowed the production that he did have. He bailed me out on a play on a kind of inaccurate pass that he came down with and got the first down. He did pretty good in the run game. You know, he had a couple contested catches. And you know, all that was kind of for naught because a lot of people just focused on the fumble. And granted, I'd be the first person to tell you that he knows that's unacceptable. But obviously, when you just put things into perspective and you call a apple an apple and a spade, it was just one mistake.
So that's a snippet of Cam Newton's support for N'Keal Harry yesterday. Maz immediately says, huh, that's quite a switch from what we've gotten here the last couple of years with a veteran quarterback and young players. And Murray threw his phone across the room. Why'd you throw your phone across the room?
Because it's so contrived. I heard this yesterday, too. I'm like, oh, here we go. Because this is Cam Newton doing the old typical I'm the new guy in the office routine, where you come in and you're nice and you're affable to any and all of your new coworkers because everything's new and exciting and it's all different. And yay. So let me blow some smoke up the caboose of the first round draft bust because I'm here and I don't focus on the negative. Let's focus on the positive. Well, let's just give it like a month. Can we give it a month before we anoint Cam Newton the savior here? And oh, it's so refreshing and we're so happy Brady's gone. Like, I wanted them to go their separate ways. I'm glad that they did, but this is silly. Like, what are we doing here? Yeah. Let's wait until this team gets bent over a couple of times, like I think they probably will Sunday and definitely in Kansas City, and that dunce is running bad routes and costing this team games and costing Cam Newton future money, and then talk to me. And then let's see what Cam Newton has to say about N'Keal Harry. Then let's circle back then. Just feels a bit premature.
I believe in the long term too, Murray. I do. But I like the new guy in the office. I thought the old guy was getting a little lazy, frankly, if you want to know the truth. I thought he was becoming a little bit of an a-hole. Little too comfortable, little too entitled. And so, you know what? I'll take it. I don't care what's driving it. They needed someone to change the whole sort of dynamic there. Because the dynamic between the quarterback and the receivers was not working. It wasn't working.
Because the receivers suck.
And you might be right.
Well, let's find out.
Yeah, you might be right. In fact, you're probably right. I told you last week, I resigned myself to the fact that N'Keal Harry will never justify the first round pick. Doesn't mean he'll suck, but he'll never justify that pick. At the same time, I do like seeing the quarterback help him out.
I mean, let's just see this approach. The other approach wasn't working. So let's see what this is. You don't even want to see it, Murray? You don't even want to try?
No, oh, it's contrived. The kid stinks. I'm sorry. Like, I don't think I'm going to be proven wrong on N'Keal Harry. No, mark the tape if I am. I'll go right ahead.
I mean, he might. I mean, I think he stinks too. I don't know how you could possibly like what you see out of him so far in his career. But, I think they're right to, if they're encouraging Cam Newton to do this, they should encourage him to do this. It's part of the reason. There was that whole undercurrent, that whole falling out with Brady and his input into the offense and his input into the players around him. It spiraled because Brady stopped, he sort of lost the line, Brady did, between support, encouragement, and constructive criticism and throwing his young players under the bus. And it turned into a little bit too much of the Dan Marino thing. And then this all developed over the last couple of years. And then the coaches said, well, this isn't right, Tom. This isn't good for business. So why don't you just play and we'll just coach? And then what happened at the end, at the very last, Brady couldn't say anything to the guys. You know, the guy would be lined up wrong and Brady would turn around and look at Josh. Can I tell him to line up right? Would you let me say that? And like, so that was part of the whole standoff with these guys. It became a little dysfunctional.
It did, totally. And again, some of this is the result of the gap knowledge-wise between Brady and the receiving corps. So you had a guy with 20 years of experience who's played quarterback at the highest level of anybody in the history in the game, and a kid coming out of college who doesn't know the difference between a slant and a post. So, like, you know, it had the makings for a disaster there.
All right, so let's clear the decks of that. Let's sweep that out of here. New quarterback, new approach, someone who's going to try and connect with them and support them and do the things Brady presumably wasn't. And then, Murray, at the end of that, we can say, boy, Bill, you really suck at finding receivers. We're not going to, you know, we can't put it on Brady. We can't put it on anyone else. He's now, N'Keal Harry would have had two different quarterbacks, two different approaches, et cetera, and he still can't play.
I'll give you that. It's a different approach. So fine, try something different. I just don't think you're going to get different results.
You might be right. Yeah, in fact, if I would bet that way too, but I told you, I do like the fact that Newton came to his defense.
What if you do? What if it goes the other way? Ooh, there's a storyline building, though. What if he hits N'Keal Harry on a deep post for a touchdown, jumps on his shoulders, and, oh, I can already hear Michaels and Collinsworth, because this is a quick aside. All Michaels and Collinsworth do every week is read all the coverage And then, you know, some of it's positive or negative. Some of it's ripping a team or positive of a team. And then whatever happens in the game, all they do is sit there and
play
go.
Play off that, yeah.
Oh, I guess Brady isn't done. Oh, I guess N'Keal Harry can play. But, you know, it's like they're in the best spot going because they don't say anything during the week. They just collect all the commentary, and then whatever's proven wrong, they sit there and go, oh, I guess they can run the ball.
A lot of questions about that draft pick, Al, but after that play, I don't know.
It's just one big bluff fest. Oh, you heard all the week this week. You heard all the talk this week, Al, about how N'Keal Harry couldn't play. And, well, I guess they got proven wrong. Like, that's all. Just pay attention to their broadcast.
Totally.
It's all they do.
I kind of like the strategy.
Is read the press clippings and the coverage, and then whoever's wrong, they just blow them. And those guys don't ever have to stick their neck out anywhere. They're just waiting to see the result, and then they rag on whoever was saying the other thing. Oh, it's so pathetic.
I might adopt it.
But actually, it is sound strategy. But but anyway, so just picture it. He hits N'Keal Harry for a touchdown. Cam Newton gives him all this love. Cameras are on him. And it's like, boy, that's an easy storyline for people like us.
Oh, my gosh. Well, see, you know, exactly. Go back to Collinsworth and Michaels. Well, Cam Newton's been really supportive of the player. He's really given him a lot of support, worked with him between practices, after practices, the whole nine yards. He's really invested in the kid. You know, that's coming. And so I just think it was, you know, Brady wasn't connecting there anymore. He wasn't. And I mean that mentally, emotionally, all of it. He was just not on the same frequency. Time to go.
Okay, calls here, as promised. Let's grab Paul in Cranston. Go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, so what if they make the game close in Seattle? I think they're going to lose. But what if they make it close and competitive?
Not good enough.
Not good enough? You don't think so?
No, I mean, like, I'll say, okay, they're going in the right direction and they showed well and all of that, but it won't get the hype train going. I mean, there's a lot of close NFL games. And what does that mean? No. You go out there and win, and Cam Newton shows. You win, and Cam Newton shows up in the passing game, because I think Pete's going to make him throw. So he shows up in the passing game, and they win on Sunday Night Football in front of the world. Oh, hype train. Get on the Patriots train.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, no question about it. Look, say what you want about Seattle and how much they lean on Russell Wilson and whether Pete can really coach in a big game. I don't think they've had a losing season in like 8 years. And going in there, I know there are no fans, but the point is, they're good. They're always good. They might not be great anymore like they were in the, you know, early 2010s, but they're still damn good. And, you know, one of the best operations in the league right now. You go in there and win. That's a statement at this stage.
Chet in Somerville, go ahead, please.
Hey, guys, thanks for taking the call. I got to agree with Murray here. I mean, we can't forget, didn't Brady drag N'Keal Harry's bum ass out to Montana to go play catch?
No.
I thought Brady did a good job of kind of babying him last year.
I don't think he did.
No, it was Brookline, not
very
Montana.
Early in the offseason, no, didn't he? Right after he got drafted?
No, yep, he did. Yep, backyard Brookline. No, let me try to bring you along, suck rookie. Oh, you suck? Never mind. Push to the side.
Yes, it was Brookline, not Montana, is what I'm trying to tell you. It was his backyard. He let N'Keal come over for 10 minutes in the backyard. So that was Brady's investment in N'Keal.
Found out in 10 minutes the kid was clueless.
But of course, put it on Instagram. Ooh, look at me, how hard I'm working. But it was a 10-minute catch session in which when he was driving away, and they're waving to him as he's pulling down the driveway, he and Giselle are standing there, and Brady goes, this guy sucks too. We're out of here, G. Hey, give me another bum.
Add him to the Sony Michel, Isaiah Wynn, clueless or hurt.
Okay, so we'll see. Speaking of Tommy Boy, already problems down in paradise. We'll pick up that story again with your calls after Big Jim Murray's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Doesn't know Felger and Mass.
Michael Felger, I don't know from a can of paint at all.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Regarding your post-game comments about Tom Brady, I know that some folks, Brett Favre, took issue with it, you know, said you threw your quarterback under the bus and things like that. But I know it's important for you to have a really open and honest relationship with your quarterback and with your players. And I also know that it's important for you to have that with us too. So can you just describe, you know, because again, there seems to be these unwritten rules that you can't speak ill of a quarterback or, but it seems like Tom Brady is a guy that can handle tough coaching too.
Yeah, Tom and I are fine. So I don't really care what other people think. So it's just what he and I think. And, you know, we left the stadium fine. We showed up today fine. So there ain't nothing to talk about.
All right, how do we think this is playing out with Brady and Arians? Interesting first week. Real rough outing on the field, and then Arians throws Brady under the bus after the game. And now they're sort of dealing with the fallout of that. What do we make of all that? First, I'll just say this. Brett Favre, shut up. I mean, like, all of a sudden, ooh, Brett Favre said that Bruce Arians should go easy. Oh, Brett Favre said that Bruce Arians is making some mistake. Who the hell is Brett Favre? Like, why are we taking advice from this clown?
Good question.
The guy underachieved.
Yeah, he's a copper-fit pitch man, too. Like, who cares?
I mean, look, he was a great, talented quarterback. But did he win at the level that he should have won at?
No.
He won one. You won once. And it turned into a thing where you had to have everyone kiss your ass for the last decade plus of your career. And what did you do there? You never even got back. So, like, all of a sudden we're supposed to listen to Brett effing Favre, who, again, got less out of his talent than, he just got less out of his talent than he should have. Let's put it that way. He was a talented mofo. That guy was a talented dude. But as soon as he got ahead, got a big head. It's like he wouldn't take coaching, wouldn't listen to anyone, and you had to kiss his ass. And what happened to him? Ran around, made a bunch of plays, bunch of mistakes, but never won another GD thing. So, like, all of a sudden we're supposed to listen to Brett Favre on that?
I just have a hard time taking him seriously on anything that involves a veteran quarterback because he's clearly still resentful of the Packers.
I mean, my God.
I mean, he was talking about Aaron Rodgers last year and watch out. This is the first sign. Here it comes. Now it's, well, Brady, you know, is getting mistreated by Bruce Arians. Brett Favre's got this complex about, like, kissing the star quarterback's ass.
It's not just him. It's all those guys. Those guys that are in that upper echelon, they
even
all
Even Montana
kind of,
did yeah, it. That's
they,
right.
They all protect each other.
But please. So that's just an aside. You know, really? Now we're going to listen to Brett Favre? Come on. Stop. But, well, how do you think it's playing out there, Brady Arians? You think they're okay or the first sign of trouble?
No, I think they're okay because my guess is that Arians told him ahead of time, I'm going to be hard on you. And Brady said, I get it.
I disagree.
You do?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know. I think this is kind of, you don't think this is weird that this has already popped up, Maz, just 1 week? There's so much pressure on that team down there. The expectations are so high. They've built this super team. It feels like there's already cracks. And if they were to lose Sunday, look out. Because that's not a very good team that they're going to be playing against Carolina. This is their home game. I know no fans. But, I mean, if they lose this week, like 5-11, 6-10, I think is realistically on the table. Like, this could go sour, and it could go sour fast.
Oh, for sure. And look, I'm probably giving Bruce Arians too much credit here. But all the stuff that you read, you know, he used to take his quarterbacks out golfing with him. This guy feels to me like he kisses their asses. So it just felt...
That was heat of the moment. I mean,
I wonder if it was contrived.
I think he's genuine. I mean, I
don't know.
And when I say genuine, I mean a genuine boob or does things genuinely wrong. Like, but I think he does. That's just my impression. I don't think he's that calculating. Like,
this felt panicky to me on behalf of Arians and that, like, he knows this is not just his job on the line. Probably the last time he's ever going to get a head coaching job if it's a bad season down there.
So, I mean, you're implying, Matt, that he went to Brady and said, okay, listen, Tom, to make sure everyone understands that I'm on the level and that I have control and it's not all about you, I'm going to be hard on you early. I'm going to be hard on you publicly. So just know that that's coming. And this was something that Favre said. Favre said, unless Bruce had gone to him on the side and told him he was going to do it, this is bad form. To which at first I would say, shut up, Brett. Okay? You should have won a lot more than you did, and you're hardly an expert in this. You're, in fact, maybe one of the last people I would ever listen to when it comes to leadership and coach quarterback relations and all of that. So I'm not sure why you're getting so much pull. But that thing, Maz, so Arians did that on the side to Brady? That sounds like too calculating for Arians. I don't think he's a calculated guy.
So this is what I just said. I'm probably giving Arians too much credit here. But I also read all the stories about how much of a bum kisser he is with his quarterbacks. And all of a sudden in week one, he's all over Brady? So the other thing is there was some stuff in camp with them that, oh, you know, he's letting Brady have it in camp, which felt contrived to me. So, again, I'm not ruling it out. I'm just telling you that I'm not totally convinced that there's like a problem between them yet.
So, you know, Bedard was in the other day and he actually wrote what he told us on the air. So I'll just read you some of it from Boston Sports Journal. But, you know, he says this could be the first step in a devolving relationship. He says, if this starts taking too much time to gel, Arians is not a patient man. When Arians took a team that went 13-3 and was viewed as a Super Bowl contender to 7-8-1 and then 8-8 in Arizona, he didn't take much of the blame. When Arians was hired by the Bucs to fix Jameis Winston, the quarterback's completion rate went down and interceptions went way up. When Winston wasn't re-signed, it wasn't Arians' fault. Winston was viewed as unfixable, and they imported Brady. So you think Arians is now going to stand around and take another loss if things go south with Brady? There's no way Arians is going to admit defeat and say he ruined the end of Brady's career. You heard some of that on Monday with the day to reflect on the game, and it's only week one. If the struggles on offense continue for the Bucs, remember, says Greg, they finished third in points and yards last season. They were third in points.
Oh, yeah.
If the struggles on offense go south, continue to go south, then Arians is going to junk what Brady wants. And the first part of the column was Bedard saying that Tampa was trying to run some of Brady's stuff and it got him all confused. Or they're still trying to work it out or get on the same page. But they ran a lot of Brady's adjustments, both at the line, both run adjustments, pass adjustments, protection adjustments. They ran a lot of what Brady wanted to run, and it didn't work. So Bedard says if these struggles continue, Arians is going to junk what Brady wants and go with his own system. I'm sure in Arians' mind, he's going to think, my offense has been top 10 three of the past 4 years. We had no problem scoring, doing it my way. And then Bedard says the fireworks would begin in Tampa between Arians and Brady. And I think these coaches, Maz, are hypersensitive egomaniacs. Like, heightened by, like, the greatest example of it is Matt Patricia, you know, in Detroit this week.
Oh, for sure.
Being called off for all these fourth quarter collapses. And, of course, he's got to say, well, I got one of the best fourth quarter plays in history, which we're actually going to get to later on in a different context. But, like, even Bill, you know, Belichick, the highest, most accomplished coach almost in the history of sports, feels the need, after he wins on Sunday, to come out and say, yeah, we practiced that on Friday, to let everyone know we knew this was going to happen and we prepared for it. And he's got to scratch that little ego incense. So these football coaches are such pusses when it comes to this stuff.
Oh, there's no question. Again, I'm not telling you any of that.
This is a long way of saying Greg's absolutely right about Bruce Arians. He ain't going to take the fall if it goes south.
So he may not. I'm just allowing for the fact that it's still early and I need to see more. That's all. I found that to be, again, the stuff in camp where he was critical. They were saying, well, he's all over Brady in camp. Come on. Come on, they just gave the guy $50 million. He's got a reputation for kissing the ass of quarterbacks.
No, so I'm with you on that. You heard him after the game and on Monday. Like, that did not sound like he was playing some game there. It just sounded like he was talking like the way he talks.
So let's see what it looks like this week. I'm not ruling out the fact that it could be the beginning of a bad relationship. Because Murray's right about this. If they lose to Carolina this week,
ooh. So look, same thing. Hello. Same thing. Yeah. Same thing. If you win in Seattle, hype train. Woo, woo, all aboard. If Brady loses at home to Carolina.
0-2.
Ooh. Ooh, that starts to get good. Okay, so your thoughts on all of this in our long commercial-free segment next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
And sometimes because you agree.
I agree with Matt.
And sometimes because deep down you like the pain.
Pulling each other's shirts off and licking each other's faces.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
As a team, obviously they've done a good job here at Foxborough and Gillette Stadium of safety protocols with COVID. Just about being on the road for the first time as a team and being a leader and making sure everybody, you know, does the right thing when it comes to safety as well.
Yeah, it's been... excuse me.
Bless you.
You know, this is an exciting kind of trip. We've been barricaded for at least a month and a half with the normalcy of, it's kind of felt like Groundhog's Day. doing everything the same each and every day, getting tested. And just for me, I've been trying to learn so much as possible in a short span. And it's no different than anybody else, but, you know, to kind of get out and about is one thing, but it's still a work trip. So, you know, even though we have been, you know, allotted to leave, you know, for working purposes, I think the NFL as well as the Patriots have done such a great job with protecting us as individuals and, you know, just keeping us informed about the test results and how we can always, you know, stay safe and just giving us the necessary antidotes, you know, from hand sanitizer to, you know, washing soap to everything else going over and beyond to helping us to not only protect ourselves, but, you know, obviously people with families protecting our families as well.
Thank you.
Did anyone else find it ironical he was sneezing and coughing through the whole COVID question?
What timing?
Excuse me.
And of course, Rochi. Bless you, Cam.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
Bless you.
Amazing.
Right, just the timing. So, road trip. There's no real point to that other than I wanted to play him sneezing and coughing during the COVID question. That's all this.
Yeah, between Bill grunting and grunting and snorting, rather, and Newton sneezing all over the place. You have all kinds of sound effects from the coach and the quarterback. And the fourth.
Bless you.
Bless you. Thank you.
Flemmiest team in the league.
Seriously.
And the four PR guys in the room with them all sort of back away.
Yeah. I'm not getting on that plane.
So, first COVID trip for the Patriots, but it's a big one. I think I think there's some, you know, there could be some meat on the bone after this game. If they win, boy, the hype train for the team, that quarterback. If N'Keal Harry plays well, oh, we got a whole little sidebar there with, instead of a veteran quarterback throwing his young receiver under the bus, he actually supports him for once and gets something out of him. There's a little something to chew on. We're going to have something to chew on next week. Or they go out there and get blown out, and we could be just left with the Celtics. But, you know, either way.
I'll tell you, after the way the defense played, I don't think they're going to get blown out. I mean, define blown out, I guess. I could see them losing by 10. I can't see them losing by 20. I mean, I don't consider 10 a blowout. But okay, anyway.
Back to your phones. Mike in Dartmouth, go.
I know it's only week two of the NFL season. However, I wanted to see if you guys think we should add another wide receiver or tight end before the season's over. If so, here are three names I think that might be available and I think we should go after. One, Corey Davis, Titans, speed wide receiver. Two, Evan Ingram, Giants, non-run blocking tight end, but still young on his final year's contract. And three, Kenny Stills of the Texans. They just got Brandon Cooks and Randall Cobb over there, so there might not be a lot of playing time for them.
Okay. I don't see the Titans sending you one of their players.
Or, or Houston. Why would those teams trade with you?
And make you better. Yeah. Giants, maybe. You know, your Bobo's down there. They're playing for nothing, you know, rebuilding year, so fine. Throw some Giants at me. I'd be surprised if the Titans or the Texans help you get better.
No, look, I just hate playing this game.
Okay, but anyway, so
get ready for it.
I know,
okay,
but
taking out the names, if they win on Sunday, you look at this team totally differently. And
of
then
course.
You really start doing that. You wonder if they start doing that.
Yes, and I would say, but this is, I think there's still that hurdle to clear. And so I want to give them a little bit of time. I also want, like, there's no way to know who's going to be available until you get to week five.
Oh, all the talk already, though, is root for the Browns to lose tonight because then they're going to start shopping Odell Beckham.
Oh, yeah. So bring that on. I'll argue that all day long.
I want nothing to do with
me either, but I'll tell you, for show purposes, I'm kind of rooting for it.
That loser.
Just to see you lose your mind.
That guy's a loser. Mike in the car on Brady. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, what's going on, guys? So, obviously, we established that it's definitely well early into the year to kind of consider like where Brady would do better, whether in Foxborough or Tampa Bay. I mean, after that game in Tampa Bay, I mean, that was horrendous. Like, that defense was awful. So I'm starting to think that, you know, obviously if they lose against Carolina, it's definitely safe to say that he probably would have had more success staying in Foxborough. But
well, I'm willing to say it right now, that if it was about wins and losses, he should have stayed here.
Sure.
I don't think it's about purely wins and losses anymore for him. I think there's a whole litany of things that we've gone over for the last 6 months about what he wanted here and wasn't getting here. And that's why he's in Tampa. If it was purely about winning and losing, he would never leave the side of Bill Belichick.
See, the irony, though, is that, you know, they almost go hand in hand. Like, if the team does well, Brady's going to put up some numbers. He is. Last year, they were
Not here.
Well, it would have been different. It would have been different, but they didn't play that great last year. So I would say that, you know, now look, he wasn't going to get the help here.
See, I don't think they go hand in hand.
What if they can't block from in Tampa, Mike?
Oh, well, he's poor.
That's what I'm saying. He's not getting either.
But all I'm saying is if he went to here or maybe like a place like Chicago, that he could put up much more pedestrian numbers and have a much better chance of winning. In Tampa, he has to put up big numbers.
Right.
Here or Chicago, he wouldn't have to put up big numbers. You just have to manage.
Chicago would have been a better pick for him.
To win and lose.
Okay. See, I think he still could have put up decent numbers there. They have good weapons.
No. I'm not saying he couldn't. I'm just not saying it's not dependent on him
Correct.
Putting up big numbers.
Correct.
He's concerned about the numbers.
Yeah.
His personal numbers.
Which I think is really stupid. Because now he runs the risk of getting the crap kicked out of him.
Dan in Boulder on Cam Newton. Go ahead, Dan.
Hey, guys. So on NFL's YouTube channel yesterday, they posted a highlight video of the players from week one that were mic'd up, and one of them was Cam, and after one of the touchdowns, it shows him on the bench slapping his leg really hard, yelling, "Get it in on the goal line. That's why I'm here." And it makes me wonder if that was like a little shot towards Brady for Tennessee last year. Just would like to know your thoughts.
How is that a shot for – did Tom Brady refuse a quarterback sneak last year? I can't remember what you're talking about.
No, first and goal against Tennessee, and they couldn't do crap, and Cam Newton's getting it in. Just felt like it might have been a little shot.
Huh. Well, do you remember something I don't? Pass got stuffed on the one-yard line?
Yeah, I vaguely remember that now.
I don't.
I vaguely remember that.
In a sign of how bored I was by Brady, Belichick, and all the winning, I stopped remembering individual games with this team. Right around 2011, 12, 13, somewhere in there.
Well, especially the divisional ones.
You give me, this is a playoff game he's talking
about.
No,
I know, but still, like, but they're all, it's a hodgepodge of, huh?
I can remember most individual games from 01 through, again, 11, 12, somewhere in there. And then after that, it's just like one big, I don't remember specific things anymore. I don't.
I looked that up. I have a vague recollection of that.
But Brady, did he refuse a quarterback sneak? Did he get stuffed quarterback sneaking? I mean, I think that's asinine. You can't blub Brady on the quarterback sneak. He's the best guy to ever do it in the history of the game. Best I've ever seen. So I'm not sure. I'm not sure what you're driving at there. Katie in Newburyport. Go ahead, Katie. Hello, Katie. Her comment line says, "Brady left, get over it." Never, Katie. No.
No.
No shot. No shot. We told you. We have this is 98.5 the Brady Hub. This is Felger, Maz, and Brady with Big Jim Murray. If you don't like the Brady talk, you're just gonna go have to listen to our country station and listen to some insipid moronic country song. Because this is going to be this is the Newton Brady Fall Tour 2020. You don't like it? I'm sorry. I don't often encourage you to go somewhere else, but you just may have to. Because we're gonna shove Brady down your mail slot like you read about. What's happening here in New England? What's happening in Tampa? I think it's both, and I think they're both off to compelling starts for different reasons. And let's see what happens this week. If this week the Patriots, you know, go out to Seattle and lose as expected, Brady comes home and wins as expected in Carolina, then everything sort of goes back to what you expect, and there's not much, there's fewer tension points there. But if either of those results flip, if Brady starts 0-2, or you go out to Seattle on national TV, and I don't think Pete's going to let you run, and Cam Newton throws and you win that ball game, oh, look out.
What if they both happen?
Look out. I mean, I forget about it. It's Brady and Brady. We'll rename the show Brady and Brady. Never mind Felger and Maz.
Oh, Brady and Belichick. This would be with Jim Murray.
With Big Jim Murray.
By the way, the Patriots did have a first and goal at the one late in the second quarter. You want to know what happened?
Yeah, what happened?
Sony Michel minus one. Rex Burkhead plus one. Sony Michel minus two. They kicked the field goal. They should have been up 17-7. They were only up 13-7, and we know what happened from there.
So, caller, maybe. I don't know. I just don't know how many. If we can't remember it, and again, not that I'm, you know, I have this great photographic memory when it comes to the Patriots anymore, but I don't know. I don't think that's what that was. Anyway, I want to get to some Pete Carroll stuff, because Petesy is once again in our face Pete the Poodle in our face this week. How do you feel about him as a coach? What do you think he's going to have in store for you this week? He usually plays you pretty well.
Mixed feelings.
His legacy, how do you feel about him as a coach? All this. We'll get to it after Murray's 90-second update, no commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.